The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples as he taught them on the mount, "You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say, 'You fool,' you will be liable to the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there, before the altar, and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him. If your accuser or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go into hell. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it said that to those of ancient times, 'You shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one." This is the gospel of our Lord. Dear friends, grace and peace to you in the name of our crucified and risen Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Have you ever seen the initials WWJD? Anybody seen them? What would Jesus do? Heard that question? The saying has become a money-making mantra for a lot of people today. With just the click of a mouse, probably on your WWJD mouse pad, you can buy WWJD t-shirts or WWJD coffee mugs or even WWJD beer steins, although that part is probably not good. And for only $239 plus shipping and handling, you can buy a diamond-accented WWJD cross. Wow. There will probably be more money spent on WWJD merchandise this year than Jesus saw in his whole lifetime. Certainly more than four widows, two copper coins. Surprisingly, this saying, WWJD, what would Jesus do, is more than 100 years old. You know where the WWJD comes from? When the question was first asked in print, it wasn't what size WWJD t-shirt do you wear. The question was raised in a book called In His Steps, written in 1896 by Reverend Charles Sheldon in Topeka, Kansas. The book describes a homeless man in his early 30s, looking like a tramp, who walks into the traditional First Church of Raymond, Kansas, the most proper and prosperous church in town. In the church, he is neglected and rejected by the good people of the church. I guess he just didn't fit their image of neighbor. After a sermon about following in Jesus' footsteps, the man walks to the front of the church and delivers an impassioned speech. "I'm not an ordinary tramp," he says, "although I don't know any teaching of Jesus that makes one tramp less worthy of saving than another tramp. It seems to me," he says, "that there is an awful lot of trouble in the world that somehow wouldn't exist if all the people who sing church songs actually went out and lived them out. I suppose I don't understand," he says, and then asks, "But what would Jesus do?" To add drama, he then collapses and eventually dies. What has now become a saying that generates tons of money, and sadly often boundaries around churches, was originally meant to be a critical question directed at Christians. A question aimed at Christians who simply were not living a life in the footsteps of the one who answered the question by his real actions. The saying, "What would Jesus do?" has even become a rules guideline for some Christians to exclude the very people Jesus would include. If you can't answer WWJD, or at least our version of it, then this isn't the church for you. If you can't answer WWJD the way we want it answered, you obviously don't fit. Dear friends, there is a word for that: hogwash. Jesus has already shown us what he would do. In fact, our question today should really be, what did Jesus do, and how does that apply to our lives today? The gospel reading tells us what Jesus did. He brought the law of Moses full circle. The law of Moses was given from the heart of God, and yet had become etched only in stone, not on the hearts of people. In today's text, Jesus takes those laws and defines them in a way that brings them, the essence of those laws, into our hearts. Laws from God's heart written on our hearts. So pertinent today is Jesus' call about anger. It's no longer just, "You have heard it said, thou shalt not murder." Jesus takes us to the heart of the commandment and says, "But I say to you, don't be angry. There is no anger in your heart, the commandment not to murder becomes unnecessary." The real question, "What would we do?" or better yet, "What will I do?" is the one we should be asking as we ask ourselves, is there anger in our hearts today? So pertinent for today is Jesus' call to settle our differences with others before we give a gift to God. You see, we can't offer the only gift that God really wants, our hearts, if our hearts are turned in on ourselves and away from our family or neighbor. But when our hearts are turned in on ourselves, they can't be turned out to God. The question is not, what would Jesus do? We already know that answer. The real question is, what would we do? Or better yet, what will you do this day to orient your heart to God? So pertinent for today is Jesus' call not to fight it out in court, but to come together to find just solutions together. Come to terms quickly is a call to work with the other, both parties together, to find solutions that will work, not just for one party or the other, but for all people, for the good of all people. The question is not, what would Jesus do? We already know that answer. The real question is, what would we do? Or better yet, what will we do to find solutions, just solutions, in an unjust world? Equally pertinent is Jesus' call to honor each other, particularly those who are disadvantaged. His teaching about divorce in the text directly challenged the male-dominant society of the time, a time when women had no rights. Divorce for a woman meant being cast out into the streets with no safety net to protect her, to live out her life without support or help or hope. At the time, women could be divorced for something as simple as burning the bread for dinner. How do you think that would play out in Seattle this morning, this Sunday morning? As you sat at the breakfast table, saying, "Sorry, honey, you burned the breakfast toast. So I divorce you, and tonight you're going to sleep under the freeway." How do you think that would go over? The question is not, what would Jesus do? The question really is one we have to ask ourselves. It's not what would we do, rather it is what will I do to stand with the disadvantaged, the marginalized, and the oppressed in our nation and towns today. So pertinent for our world today is Jesus' call to tell the truth. It isn't just, "You have heard it said that thou shalt not swear falsely, give false testimony." Jesus takes us to the heart of what that commandment really is saying when he says, "But I say to you, don't swear at all. Don't give false testimony. It's not more than that. Don't lie at all." What would Jesus do today if he heard that lies were called alternative facts? The question is not, what would Jesus do? We already know that answer. The real question is, what would we do? Or better yet, what will we do to seek truth and justice today? So, dear friends, what would Jesus do in our nation, our towns, and our churches today? Would he welcome the stranger who might be different than we are? Would he reach out to neighbors in need? Would he be caring enough to accept people rejected by the self-righteous society that too often judges first? Would he feed sinners? Would he be present? Yes, we already know what Jesus would do. For he lived a life of radical grace and radical love. He welcomed those who were excluded and embraced them. He stood with the outcasts and gave them hope and life. Reached out to bring hope and light to a pretty dark and hopeless world at his time. Yes, he ate with sinners and embraced them. And today, he has prepared a meal for us. What do you think Jesus will do at this table today? He will embrace each of us. With all of our faults, with all of our brokenness, he will embrace us through his body and blood and forgive us so that we might be his living body seeking justice in an unjust world today. Yes, the big question for Christians today is not, what would Jesus do? It is, what will we do? Dear friends, it is, may the light of the living Christ embolden you to be justice in an unjust world, and may you forever live out the song that we will soon sing.